Paul started his letter to the church at Galatia when he said, I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are trying to disturb you and distort the gospel of Christ. There was problems in the church. Over the last two sermons I've had in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 3, we've talked about the individuals coming into those churches and teaching works of the law to born-again believers and the problems. And in the opening verses, the apostle calls distortion and disturbing the gospel of Christ. In other words, it wasn't the gospel of Christ. On the book of Galatians, I've written three sermons. We've talked about two already. Today will be the third sermon of the trilogy of Galatians chapter 3. In the first sermon, by way of quick review, it was called Foolish Galatians. The works of the law that were taught were specifically circumcision, days and months of worship, and seasons and years, whom Paul referred to as weak and worthless elemental things. To those who taught Christians to perform them, accursed. To those Christians who went back to them, foolish. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we talked about contrasting the works of the law and hearing with faith in Christ Jesus. And the apostle used the proof of the Holy Spirit was given by hearing with faith or believing God and not by the works of the law. This was written in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Jim, could you read that, please?
You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with your faith?
The next sermon, which was just a few weeks back, was called The Abraham Connection. And why we would use a term like that, comes from chapter 3, verse 16, and it said, the promise God gave to Abraham was also promised to Abraham's seed, which is Christ. And those by faith in Christ, whether Jew or Gentile, were deemed the sons of Abraham. This is not to be confused with the concepts of the flesh of those individuals from Adam that we call Jews. But spiritually, those born again by the Holy Spirit, by their faith, were deemed as sons of Abraham. That's the connection from the Gentile who lives by faith, has trusted Christ, becomes the sons of Abraham. And for all of you, when you study prophecy, when they talk about the Jews, who really are they talking about? That's the question, isn't it? And that's for each of us to come to a conclusion. Now, an Abraham Connection sermon was Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 18.
Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteous. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law, who perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law, having become a curse for us, is not a faith. On the contrary, who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed who is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations. Even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is, Christ. What I am saying is this. The law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to nullify the promise. For the inheritance is based on the law. It is no longer based on a promise. But God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise.
And then today's sermon is entitled, Why the Law Then? Which is a very good question. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that we have this in your word. And Father, you know, as all of us have wrestled with this concept over our lives, this concept of the law, the concept of grace in Christ. And help us to see these things clearly so that as we trust you completely, and trust the blood of Christ, we will know without a doubt which covenant we are under. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned, why the law then? It's an excellent question. We see over time, since the law came 400 years after the promise given to Abraham. Remember, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Believing God, he was declared righteous. And every believer since then who has believed God have been declared righteous. How come 400 years later, he put that law down there? It was like a monkey wrench. It stirred everything up. But there was some very important reasons why God gave us that law. Now, remember, he gave it to Israel. Dan read this morning about the giving of the law, the incident on Mount Sinai. And if we'd continued on in chapter 20, we'd have seen how God made the statements that we call the law. That was given. And it was given to Israel, but it affected the entire human race. So picking up at verse 19 of Galatians chapter 3, if you'd like to follow along with me, we're going to look at verse 19 first, and then we'll just work through the verses and discuss them. Why the law then? The answer was, it was added because of transgressions. And we read on, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator, until the seed should come, to whom the promise had been made. Now, a mediator is not for one only, but God is all only one. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions. Since, like Abraham, a person is declared righteous by faith, believing God, then why was the law given? The answer was because of sin. Sin was abounding. And that was the problem. And so we're going to see the law defined what sin was. Can you imagine living in a world and not really knowing what sin was and performing them and not getting it? Well, that's what they were up until the time of the law. The human race was like that. If we read in Romans 7:7, if you'd like to turn there, but hold your finger right there in Galatians chapter 3. This verse kind of tells us what I mean by that. The law defines sin. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. This was the apostle writing. This was the conclusion he came to. And this is what the conclusion the human race comes to when they find out what sin really is. So that is the first step. We see the law defined what sin really was so that there was no doubt about it. Notice God didn't leave us in the dark on these things. Now, it's not like God to be surprised at sin increasing. God knew that would happen, but he gave us the opportunity to find out what sin really was, so that then we could look for an alternative. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we move on. We find out it was by the agency of a mediator. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions ordained through angels. We'll mention that. To the agency of a mediator. And this is essentially what Dan was reading this morning. A mediator comes from the word middle. It's a go-between, generally between two groups. Modern-day things we see, a mediator, it might be between union and management, person that mediates both. But it said God is one. God is the one who gave the law, and he mediated it through Moses at the hand of angels. We have a verse by that from Acts 7:38. You don't have to turn there. I'll go ahead and read this. This is the one, Moses, who was in the congregation in the wilderness together with the angel, ordained by angels, who was speaking to them on Mount Sinai, and who was with our fathers and received living oracles to pass on to you. Those were the law. That was the law given, and that was the what Dan was reading about. Now, we see how Moses was the mediator of the law, but Christ, under the new covenant, was the mediator of a new covenant. In Hebrews 8:6, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry by which he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. He refers to Christ there as the mediator of a better covenant. And we know he was the mediator by his death. We've been talking about two covenants here, the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant is Mount Sinai, the law, the literal law given. The new covenant is grace in Christ Jesus, which started at the cross, at the crucifixion. We see the mediator is not for one party only, but God was one. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. This is new covenant. Also, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth by Jesus Christ. The purpose of these verses is to show the two covenants, not to be have them mixed up. Two distinct covenants. As born-again believers, spiritually born again, we're under the new covenant. I've mentioned this before on the last two sermons. When we take that cup, we say Christ's words. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This was Christ's actual words. Now, this next phrase from the verse we're looking at, sometimes kind of people trip up on it. Let's work through this. It said, and I'll go back and read the whole verse. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions having been ordained through angels by the agency of the mediator until the seed should come to whom the promise had been made. Right up front, we could look at that and say, okay, the law was in effect until Christ's death. Then after Christ's death, no more law. That's only partially true, folks. We want to look at that a little bit closer and find out what's really happening there. What does that mean until the seed should come to whom the promise had been made? We're going to find out how the law, and we're not right now, but in a few minutes, we'll find out how not only the law defined sin, but the law was a schoolmaster or a tutor. And it's important to remember that, so kind of put that on your mental shelf, and we'll come back to that. What do we mean by the law being a tutor? And why shouldn't the law have stopped at Christ? What do we mean by those things? So we'll put that on the shelf, and we'll go back and revisit those. But I want to say the law has not stopped. But I need to prove that, and we will try to do that here pretty quick. We'll go on to the next verse, verse 21. Is the law contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness indeed would have been based on law. We're going to look at two facts here. A person under the law or the old covenant that believed God, had faith in God. In other words, when they realized they sinned, the law required a certain sacrifice. It was a sin sacrifice or something like that. That person brought that offering before the priest. It was sacrificed. And that person looked on that sacrifice, and it was his faith that the sacrifice would take care of his sin. That was his faith. That's how the Old Testament believers under the law were declared righteous, by their faith on that sacrifice. Now, we know that those sacrifices were sin, were for the believers to look ahead to the ultimate sacrifice, which was Christ. It was to help them so they get the idea of their faith that sacrifice was taking care of that sin. In some cases, they would put their hands on the head of an animal, and they would look at that animal and say, that animal is going to die for the sin I committed. But they had faith that God would take care of their sin. Excuse me. The second part, so that's how they were declared righteous. The second part is, the apostle already proved, this was in Galatians 3:1-5, that the Holy Spirit was received by hearing with faith and not by the works of the law. Therefore, from Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. That's where life comes from, the Holy Spirit. It didn't come from the works of the law. So in believing in Christ, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, it gives life to our mortal bodies. That's the reason we can say, because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, our flesh, of course, might die, but we're going to live forever because the Holy Spirit is eternal. That's a wonderful promise, and the apostle tried to explain that to those believers in Galatia who were they were so attracted to those works of the law. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school, this idea about the works of the law. And it can be an attractive thing because it makes you feel good. I mean, a religious thing, oh man, you know, hey, I'm cruising right along. Oh, I did that. And I feel so much better about it and all that. Oh, yeah, I worshipped on that day. Oh, I feel so much better. That kind of thing. And it makes you feel superior to somebody else who doesn't do it. It's really a good gig, really. But we want to take a look at that. Why that law? But it was righteous. It was good. It was a wonderful gift from God gave to us. But we want to see where it falls in the idea of believers. So, anyone can do the works of the law. A little circumcision here, you know, a little Sabbath day here, a little feast day over here, that kind of thing. Until you get to a law you can't do, and then all of a sudden you're dead in your tracks. And that being dead, I believe, is a gift from God who's saying, see, you can't do that law perfect. You've got to have an alternate way for righteousness. And believe me, that's God's love. And it's a painful thing for people to experience that. I cannot be righteous by the works of the law. God bringing a person to that place, that's when they turn to Christ, saying, that's the perfect sacrifice. And we read about that through the Gospels and in Hebrews and things like that. Galatians 3, and I think Earl read this, as many as are under the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the work of the law, books of the law. All things means all. All means all. That means you can be 99.9% perfect and miss one thing. You're guilty of the entire law. That's what James says. That's not a good feeling. This is the gift God gave us as born-again believers, but he told us what the law was. That was the important step. Verse 22, the Scripture has shut up everyone under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ, what, might be given to those who believe. The promise by faith in Jesus Christ, is it given to everybody? No, it's given to those who believe. Those who believed God, that's who the promise was given to. But the Scripture, look at that, has shut up everybody under sin. The Scripture, it's another example is how the Word of God is alive. You know, when you pick up this Bible, it's not a dead thing. It's alive. This is God's Word. This is the thing that's alive, and it goes inside of people. This is why, and I'd mentioned before, how I like to teach the Word of God, because it's something alive. It's not some dumb book a man has written, even though men have written interesting books. But it's something that counts for eternity. So as we study the Bible, it's something that's alive. It's like God speaking to us all the time. All the time, God speaking. What did the Scripture do? It shut all men under sin. All means all again. In Adam, all died. For by one man, sin entered the world. Adam's race was enclosed in sin. We get an idea of being closed up or shut up into sin by Luke. The same Greek word is used. You won't have to turn there, but it's Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. This is a very familiar passage. It's about the fishermen out fishing, and Christ said, throw your nets over there, because they hadn't caught anything all night long. And I'll read this one verse. They enclosed a great quantity of fish. In other words, those nets came around that great quantity of fish. That's the human race. Same word, enclosed in sin. Nobody leaks out. But the Word of God did that. So that points that the human race is in a heap of trouble if they're all enclosed in sin. So what was God going to do about that? Just leave them there? Well, he gave the law, and it defined what sin was. In Romans 11:32, it says, God has shut up all in disobedience. In Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and I'd mentioned this, and death through sin, so that death spread to all men. There's a problem there. Now, I know there's various religious groups that teach contrary, but the thing that's alive teaches this. And God wants the world to know the truth, and he gave us his word. He wants Christians to know the truth. Don't be fooled about these things. So that the promise, but the Scripture has shut up everyone under sin, so that the promise through faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those to believe. Now, that word promise, we're using it again. That's the same promise God gave to Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That promise is being declared righteous in Jesus Christ. We want to review that real quick. And Earl had read this. That promise was spoken to not only Abraham, but Abraham's seed. Now that seed, he doesn't refer to many, he's referring to one. That seed was Christ. So the promise was literally spoken to Abraham and to Christ. So the promise, through faith in Jesus Christ, was given to those who believe. And once again, we talked about how a Gentile, by faith in Jesus Christ, can become the son of Abraham. It's a line of individuals who live by faith, not nationality. Nationality's out. That factors out, really. That promise is righteousness and eternal life. But before faith came, that faith in Jesus Christ, we were kept in custody, shut up in that big thing, under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. So that before Christ, the entire world was shut up under the law. And the law was given, and an individual by faith could understand how their sin was taken care of by those animals or sacrifices and things like that. Notice this is speaking from the point of view of Christians. We were kept. That's important. We, as born-again believers, before we were saved, we were kept there. Now, our faith in Jesus Christ brought us from that darkness to light. Past, it was before faith, before the law. Therefore, the law, what? Has become our tutor to lead us to Christ. This is so important. That law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we who believe God have put our trust in Jesus Christ are no longer under a tutor. That's important to remember. Remember, the sin defines, I would not have come to know law, sin except through the law. When the Spirit shows a person they are guilty under the law, and the person realizes he cannot keep the law perfectly, he has to turn to God, Christ. The laws work as a tutor to lead people to Christ. There's another wonderful gift of the law. If you haven't come to that place where you believe you're by doing the works of the law, you will receive righteousness. Pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you that if you trust in Christ Jesus, that'll be the end of the law for you. But not for the world. It's still in effect because the world that doesn't know Christ still needs a tutor. Even though it's preached, no more law, no more law, no more law. Yeah, we don't even have to read the Old Testament. I'm so sorry for that. But the law is still the tutor. That's the thing that's going to get the law, the job done. It defines sin for the human race. It's also a tutor to lead them to Christ. Now, that's real love God gave to the human race by showing them the way. Because of Christ, he said, this is my beloved son. This is the person I'm in well pleased. I'll accept his sacrifice. And you know, he heaped the sins of the world on Christ. And the person that accepts Christ or looks upon Christ and believes, that is the person that's declared righteous. It's impossible to be declared righteous through the law. Therefore, that statement from verse 19, until the seed should come to whom the promise has been made, does not mean that the work of the law being a tutor has ceased. It just ceases for the Christian who is under the new covenant. That's an important thing to remember. So, the individuals that came in to those churches and said, hey, and we'd mentioned before, we know who this was. They were Jews. They knew the law. Don't think they were pagan Gentiles teaching the church to keep the law. They were Jews. That's who they were. And they were coming into the churches and teaching them. And folks, today they do the same thing. Not just Jews. Now everybody's doing it. Real serious problems. There's very prominent denominations today who live by the works of the law, yet they claim they've trusted Christ too. That means they're living under two covenants. Guys, you can't do it. It's either one or the other. Unfortunately, they only know what part of the Scripture says. They can tell you all about the Old Testament, but they sure can't talk about the New Testament. Sad, sad situation. Now, these are the people we need to reach. Can you imagine the load that would be off their mind? Verse 26. Are we going in order here? Yes. Verse 26, for you're all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We've made that statement. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male, slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. We're going to take a couple points here. First one is in verse 7, 27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ. Notice that's the second sentence over. We'll do the second sentence, then the first sentence. You know I'm kind of backwards anyway, so I know you're right up to snuff in that. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. What does that mean? We understand baptized into Christ. We've got scriptures that tell us what that is. Romans 6:3, here's the first factor. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death? That's what it means to be baptized into Christ, to be baptized into His death. In Galatians 2:20, the apostle said something, and it goes right along with this, being baptized into Christ. I've been crucified with Christ, he said. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life, and listen to this voice careful, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Now, that idea, the life I now live in the flesh. This is an important factor here. I call it, in my notes right here, the earthly tent or dwelling factor. And it's mentioned in various parts of the Scripture. I think your NIV says, the life I now live in the body. Good translation there. The life I now live in the body. In other words, here's a guy that's been crucified with Christ, baptized into Christ, baptized into His death, and he's saying, that life I'm living in the body, that's that motorhome that carries us through life. That's that thing that was in Adam. That's our conveyance through life. Now, in reality, in Christ, that spiritual rebirth, we'll talk about that something, but we want to talk about that thing in Adam. In 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5, why don't you turn there if you get a chance? There's just a few verses here, and we're going to get the idea of the earthly tent. Now, this is the Apostle Paul making these statements, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 5, and I'm going to read that. For we know that if our earthly tent, which is our home, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, we are on this tent, we groan. Indeed, for while we're on this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed in order that this mortal may be swallowed up in life. Now he who has prepared this very promise is God, who gave the Spirit as a pledge. Excuse me. He talked about his earthly tent or dwelling. Simon Peter also talked about the same thing. Why do I even bring this up? Because it's important to look at the rest of the verse and the information we have. In 2 Peter, Simon Peter made the same thing, and we won't turn there. But I'll read it. I consider it as right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. That means that earthly dwelling is his body. He's going to die. Simon Peter knew it. The Apostle Paul said, our earthly tent, that was the body. And back in Galatians 2:20, the life I now live in the flesh or in this body. That body, that's that thing we still got from Adam. I've got a lot of Dutch blood in me, and I've got a lot of English blood. It goes right back to Adam. The nationalities are there. So that's my primary nationality. I've got a lot of other stuff, too. They say I'm American Indian and all those things. I don't know. You know. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Okay. That's an important thing to remember. Now, sometimes we just kind of slide by that, and we go right to the second part of this. But it's important to understand those concepts. What does that lead to as far as the next part of the verse? For all of you who are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, etc., etc. What are we talking about there? Let's give an example. Let's take a free Jewess, a lady that's a Jew that's free. In Adam, or the earthly tent, she's free, she's a Jew, she's a female, and she's a child of Abraham according to the flesh. Being a Jew, that's what she is. Okay? In Adam. And we know how that works. All of you have, in the flesh, a nationality somewhere. Now, it goes from your father all the way back to Adam. Okay? Now, in verse 26, with that in mind, you're all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, remember, God, who is Spirit, is our new Father. That means we got the old Father in Adam. That's the flesh. That's the thing that's dying, being corrupted, decaying away. And our new Father is God, that which is eternal, the eternal part of us. A spirit, a spirit does not have a gender. It doesn't have a nationality. It doesn't have an earthly status. It does, and as does an earthly tent in Adam. Notice the difference between the spirit. So when you were spiritually reborn and became sons of God, all of that factored out. That's why the scripture says, in Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female. There is neither slave nor free, for all are one in Christ. Can you see that in Christ it's one set of standards? However, as born-again believers, and we can use the same thing of the Jewish, we would say, after faith in Christ, she comes to know Christ. The law has convicted her. She believes God. She trusts in Christ. She becomes a child of God, a son of God. In Christ, neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. And that's what she becomes in Christ. And lives the rest of her life with two fathers. Adam and God. You're all sons of God through Jesus Christ. In the body, she's of Adam. Now, folks, you know what I'm talking about when I say some have unfortunately really been misled by this scripture. We got people that God has assigned to the male. They're doing it as females. Serious stuff. Why is it serious? Well, because, you know, they probably can live their whole life and everything they've done that God has assigned to a male is nothing. They'll look back over their life and it'll be like a bonfire. Now, is that serious? It is to me. So that's why the scripture says, wives, be in subjection to your husband. Those are born again wives. Okay? Husbands, love your wives. Those are males. There is gender responsibilities in this body. I'm not going to go on about this because you know what I'm talking about. This is big stuff in the time we live. Very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. Anyway, verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, and this is what we've already gone over, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendant, spiritually. And that counts for eternity. That means you have the same promise God gave to Abraham. righteousness, eternal life. And that's all that counts. That's all that counts. The flesh factors out. It's no more. In Christ, you're a new creation. Heirs according to promise. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Boy, you've been a good group. Please stand with me. And I'm going to pray. Dan's going to read the benediction. And let's go home. So. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have your word. Thank you, Father, that we're declared righteous in your eyes through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've given us the law to be a tutor that will lead us to Christ so that we can be justified by faith. Oh, the love you've shown to us is beyond words, but thank you for it from the bottoms of our heart. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.